Radharas Sudanidhi by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. We're discussing verse 3 about the rarity of Radharani's foot dust, how rare it is to attain the great devotees that cannot attain. And Krishna himself is, he says, Brahma and Shiva, they can't attain, they cannot attain this dust. And this dust has so much power, it's the essence of all the desirable objects, all arthas, the dust of Radharani's feet, Radhacharna Renu, is the greatest possible imaginable fortune for anyone to attain. And to elaborate on that idea, and then it's explained in the purport how Brahma, Lord Brahma, the father of all living entities, or let's say creation, he's the creator, secondary creator. He's the immediate creator, but the efficient creator is Vishnu. Taking empowerment from Vishnu, Vishnu injects all the jivas, and then Brahma gives the body, body by fissure, body by Brahma, jiva by God. So he gives the material bodies, but the there's no driver there. The driver is Vishnu. Vishnu, Mahavishnu expands and puts the drivers in all the bodies according to their karma. So they work together. The immediate cause of creation, so he's called the creator, is Brahma. But the efficient cause of creator, the efficient cause of creation, the original Adi Karta, or the Adi original doer, original creator is Vishnu. So they work together. So this is such an exalted personality is Lord Brahma. He's also praying to attain the dust of Radharani's feet. So that gives some indication how rare it is. So he's praying in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, which we were studying last night in some form or other, at about 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning on the roof. Whoever was there, or even I don't know if I was there myself. But it was chapter 14, Brahma Vandanam, and it was verse 34, which we didn't reach. Tad bhuri bhagyam iha janma kimapyatavyam yad gokulepi katamangri rajo bishekam yad jivitam nikilam bhagavan mukundas twad yappi yat pradaraja shuti mrigyam eva. Brahma is telling in his own words, he's revealing in his prayers to Krishna in Vrindavan. He has come down to Vrindavan after purloining the calves and boys, and returned them after 1 year of his time, or rather, our time, earth time was 1 year. It was only one moment. You know, let me take these calves and boys, coward boys, Krishna's friends who he's eating lunch with. Let me snatch them, put them in a cave, and see what he does in 1 second. So that 1 second of Krishna's, of Brahma's time is 1 year of Krishna's time. So they were packed up over there in prison for 1 year. So Krishna had a big task on his hands, what to tell the mothers. Well, yeah, we sent our boys out with you to play, and then they got lost. Thousands of them. Where'd they go? You came back alone? Where's my son? So he was in a heap of trouble. Brahma really caused a lot of distress for Krishna. So no problem. Koi Bhatni. Krishna expanded himself immediately into exact replicas of all the coward boys. Because they all come from him anyway. Everything comes from him. Om sarvasya prabhavo vata sarvam pravartate itima vat... whatever. Vajanti mam. He says in 10th chapter in the Chatushloki of Bhagavad Gita, verse 8, I am the source of everything. Everything comes from me. And the wise knowing this, then they worship me. So Krishna is the source. So he created himself out of his own yogamaya, surup shakti, all these beautiful coward boys, his friends, Sridham, Subal, Madhumangala, etc. And they were still there playing with him for 1 year. And all the calves jumping and singing and playing. But they were in a special feature because they were Krishna calves and Krishna coward boys. See, they're all attractive, more attractive. So the mothers are very happy to see their boys, and the matas, Gaya mat, cows were very happy to see their babies because they were actually Krishna. So Brahma, after all that was said and done, he felt extremely repentive and humble, and he begged forgiveness, and he offered so many beautiful prayers to try to pacify and mollify the Lord. And they're known as Brahma Vandanam, chapter 14, and they're really wonderful. These prayers are all about Purushottam Krishna. So everyone in the Gaudiya Math around India, they observe every year, or every 3 years, they observe Purushottam Vrat by reciting these prayers and studying them. So we are also making our half-baked attempt last night to at least look at them and get some idea, but we didn't have too much stamina for all that. But he's saying, Lord Brahma is saying, the Creator himself is saying, I consider myself very blessed and fortunate if I can take any kind of birth, even a subhuman and one, even not even human, any kind of birth. Tadburi bhagyam iha janmakim api yatavyam in Gokule, Gokule me. Any kind of birth in Gokul, Braja Gokul, I don't care. Any kind of birth, I'll be happy, fortunate, blessed in this forest of Gokul, so I can be sprinkled by the foot dust of one of its inhabitants. Anybody. Just let me have the foot dust. Pradaraja Shruti Mrigyam. Whose very life, any of the inhabitants, anyone living in Braj, what is their life? Their very jivatam. Jivatam to Nikilam, Bhagavan Mukundas. Their jiva, their life force, their life breath, their energy, their action, their desire, everything is Mukunda, Bhagavan Mukunda. If I'll take a birth anywhere and just let me be sprinkled, let some of that foot dust of them fall on my head. And even now, the Vedas, the personified Vedas, are seeking for that foot dust, the Shruti Mrigyam. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti comments on this verse, which we also have in our Sarata Darshini. The Brahma was so astonished by seeing Krishna's pastimes, he didn't have the courage to directly ask for the dust from the lotus feet of the cowherd boys. Well, naturally, he really put them in a lot of problems. He doesn't want to bring up any, he doesn't want to approach them for anything, but please forgive me. And it's not like, well, listen, I stuffed you in a cave for 1 year. And after stuffing you in a cave for 1 year, it's a little hard to breathe in a cave. Anyway, you're stuffed in this cave for 1 year in the middle of your taking lunch. You were saying, oh, Krishna, this rascal is so nice. Please take it. And all of a sudden, doop! Where's the rascal? Where's Krishna? Where are you? Where's your lunch? You're ripped off. I mean, you're kidnapped and hijacked. Well, we say now hijacked, that's a new word. Instead of saying kidnapped, we say hijacked by terror. You were kidnapped and hijacked by a terrorist, a four-headed terrorist. He had sakat, he had topis on all four heads, just so his eyes looking out. You know, terrorists, where they wear these, put these hats on their little eyes, monkey face, right, and they look out. Hey, and you see in the airport the picture of the guy, some black mask, you can't say. Gunda. So Brahma, he came like a Gunda. And he kidnapped, hijacked Krishna's coward friends and the calves too. And he flew them off. He hijacked that airline and crash landed in a cave. And stuck them all over there. So now he'll be obviously, certainly very reluctant to say, oh boys, you know, I really did a bad thing. By the way, can I have some of the dust of your feet? Forget it. We'll show you the dust of our feet. Now, kick you right in the face, you rascal. And all four of your faces will just surround you and whomp you. Give you, you know, we know karate. We learned from Krishna. We'll kick you good. So he's like, I'm not messing with these guys. They're Krishna's people. So he didn't have the courage, who would, to directly ask for the dust of the lotus feet of the coward boys. Therefore, he meekly, humbly prayed that somehow he could get a berth as a rock outside the house of any bungi or chamara living on the outskirts of Braj, so that he could sprinkle his whole body with that person's foot dust. What do they usually say? Is that he wanted to be a rock outside a bungee's house. So when the bungee comes back after walking all around the gutters and streets, sweeping and cleaning, he'll say, oh, my feet are dirty. I can't go in a house like this. Yesterday, my mother yelled at me. I came in all dusty, dirty feet. So I should wipe it off on this. Oh, there's a nice rock here. Scrape, scrape, scrape. Wipe off your dusty, dirty, stooly feet on this rock. And who is that rock?
Brahma.
Brahma. Maybe there's four rocks there. Must be four. Or maybe one in front of one house and three in front of some other houses. Because he has four heads, right? One rock for each head, or one head for each rock, or whatever. Sometimes we say you have a rock head. You have block head, you rock head. You have a head like a rock. Ding back, stupid fool. So now he's really got a chance to have a rock head and rock out or whatever. So there he is. With his head on the dust outside of Bungie's door. Please, scrape your feet on me. This is what is being said. From this, it is easy to understand that it is very difficult for Lord Brahma to have a glimpse of the dust from Vrishabhanu Nandini's lotus feet. Now, what about Lord Shiva? The dust of the gopis and the gwals and, or say, gopis and gopes, is difficult to attain even for Shiva in Kailash. Once, of course, he tried to come and live in Braj. And he took the name, and he does live here, as Gopishwar, hoping to attain some of that dust. But when Radha and the gopis saw him, they prayed for the dust of his lotus feet. Because Gopishwar is Ashutosh. Shiva's Ashutosh, very easily pleased. And still the gopis, they're in Naralila, they're just ordinary girls. Listen, Shiva, listen, girls. Shiva's come to the Rasastali. Really? Yes. He's situated over there and he's taken a linga form. He's posted as some type of guard. Krishna set him up over there. Oh, let's go pray to him. Oh, Mahadev, please bless us that by your blessings we'll attain the association of Krishna and we'll attain Krishna's service. But they're simple, innocent village girls. So they're thinking, what a great opportunity for us that Mahadev, Shankara Bhagavan, Bam Bam, Bolanath, that innocent one, Bolanath, the innocent Lord has come to benedict us. So they were worshipping every day, Gopishwar Shiva. Please bless us that we can enter the Rasa dance. And in, following in their footsteps, Anugatya, Gopi Anugatya, Sanatan Goswami was going every day to worship Gopishwar. And Das Goswami is worshipping and Vishwanath Chakravarti. They're all praying to Gopishwar. Please bless us. So anyone who lives in that side of town, or when you ever visit there, they surely should visit Gopishwar. In the morning, you can do Linga Puja. In the evening, you can offer like some incense or ghee lamp from a distance and have the darshan of Lord Shiva and his Gopi Roop. Have you seen? Really? Someone you visit so many days, you've never gone. You are really smart. They say that if you want to live in Vrindavan, he is the ticket. He gives the ticket. Vrindadevi, Purnamasi, Yogamaya, and especially Gopishwar. Because the other ones, you have to bargain with them. Vrindadevi, you have to cut a bargain. And Purnamasi and Yogamaya. But Gopishwar, he's Bolanath. He's innocent. He's simple. You can get over on him easy. You can worship him. He's easily pleased. A little incense. Bring him some para. You bring him a little this, that, the other thing. Because he's a Vaishnava. He doesn't like all this funky arka fruits and stuff like that, which they stick on his head. He likes para. He brings some Mahaprasad, brings some Mahaburfi from Krishna. He'll love it. This is how the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they worship him as Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. He's the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. So they don't go offer him this sticky porcupine thing and put it on his head. Datura fal. If you're a Shiv Bhakta and you're following Shiv Puran Karma Kandiya, then you offer Datura fal and Arka flowers, which are useless. There's white flowers, Arka flowers. They grow on this milky, sappy plant. And you're offering these little blue flowers, this other, what's that? Blue flower that hangs like this. Maybe that's also Datura fool. One's Datura fool, the little blue and white things, which are like weird. Bale leaves. You can't. If you don't offer bale, it's bale to him is like Tulsi. And you put it upside down too. You don't put it right side up. Tulsi, that's interesting. When you worship Krishna, you always put it right side up. You know, there's a bottom and a top. The top side should be up. one between each toe, four mandris between each toe, or four leaves between each toe and that foot, and four in that, with chandan. This is Krishna puja. But Shiva puja, you take has to be three leaves, and you put them upside down, top side down, bottom side up. You know that? Yeah, you can just learn, watch anybody, and he does follow the old lady in front of you. Let's see, what's she doing now? What do you do first? Do you first put the leaves, or first you bathe? Just fall in behind any little Brijvasi Brahmin and you got it down. That's how I learned to do puja, Gopishwara. And I just pray to him, please bless me that I can attain eternal residence in Vrindavan in the service of Radha and Shyam. Please bless me. Then 1 year of visa extension, then two, then three, then four, and five, and six, and seven. 11 years extension on a 1 year visa. Mahadev ki jai. Yeah. Then finally, Tonk Sarkari. You are an Indian citizen. 1998. So this is the mercy of Prabhupada. The mercy of the Vaishnavas, and especially Gopishwar, because I went every Monday to worship Gopishwar when I lived in Ramanreti. So I'm very indebted to Lord Shiva. Gopishwar, Mahadev, and you've never been. So you also have some proposal to live in Vrindavan, but no submission, no permission. No permission, no admission. Because he is the admitting officer. He is the, what do you call it in college, admissions officer? That's what they call it, admissions office. And there's some admission officer, you have to meet with him.
Admission.
Yeah, admission papers. And you meet with somebody, reviews your case. Okay, we'll give you a scholarship. So he's the admissions officer. You put your petition there, you file your application. You go to Kamyavan, to Brinda Devi, and you go to Gopishwar. He's easier to get to. Regular, you have to check up on your file. Say, listen, I gave my paper. Are you moving it or what? What are you doing with it? What do you need, a bribe? Yes, you haven't given me para. You haven't been here in a month. Where's my para? Where's my maha garland? Where's my bala flowers? Where's my bale fruit? And what's this? You want action with no bribe? What is this? No puja. He's very kind. So he wanted to also come to Braj and obtain that dust. But when Radha and the gopis saw him, they prayed for the dust of his feet to attain Krishna. So therefore, it's very hard for Mahadev to attain the dust of Radharani's feet, because she won't give it. She wants the dust of his feet. So that's because that's told in the verse, that Brahma and Shiva and others, Saraswati Pada is telling us that they can't attain. Very difficult. The dust of Radharani's feet in this verse is called Srimat. Srimat, which means filled with opulences. So therefore, even the goddess of fortune, she's pretty opulent, right? Lakshmi Devi. She's the Devi, the goddess of money, power. I mean money. The gold coins. You ever see the posters? Saraswati, Durga, and? Come on. There's three ladies in the poster. Saraswati, Durga, and Lakshmi. You never seen these posters? They're everywhere. Durga's sitting there on a tiger like this, and Saraswati is with her swan or whatever, peacock, and then she has her. And then the goddess of learning, the goddess of material energy, and the goddess of money. So all these posters, every Agarwal has one. Every Agarwal has one posted on their house, in their house. They don't miss out. They don't want to miss Durga. She's controlling everything here. And then they don't want to, Janam Dehi. They're begging for all these things, power position. And then Lakshmi Devi, you got to keep good relationship with her. Keep the coins falling on my head. And she's like this, she's holding her hand like this, and the gold coins are falling through the sky, and the guy's on the ground like this. You see in the poster. So she also wants to get the dust to rot on his feet. Radha Charanarenu. But can she get it? Yes or no?
No.
She's sitting under a bilva tree in Balvan, Srivan, doing tapasya. Sitting in Padma Asan, like this. Please give me the dust of your lotus feet. So every year in Poshmas, the Vrijvasis go to sprinkle the dust of their feet on her head. Because the only way to get Radharani's dust is get the dust from the feet of the Vaishnavas, specifically the Brijvasi Vaishnavas. So they all go there to bless Goddess of Fortune. The Brijvasi, they give her a nice plate of khichdi, because she's been eating bale leaves for 11 months. Bale leaves and bilva fruit for a couple of weeks when it comes in ripe. So they go and they give her a nice khichdi for four Thursdays every month. I went there many times, not to give her any blessings, but just to have her darshan, because all my Brijvasi friends would take me there. You must have went, you must have gone. That's the thing to do in January. So everyone has different experiences in Braj, and it's all being arranged by Krishna for our advancement and devotional service. Braj is like a mother. Prabodhananda Saraswati, in another very famous book called Vrindavan Mahimamrita, which he also wrote about the wonderful glories of Vrindavan Dham, he said, "Oh Vrindavan, you are just like a mother. And being like a mother, then please overlook all my offenses and nourish me, continue to nourish me and keep me on your bosom, keep me on your breast and don't kick me out because I'm your child and I'm taking shelter of you. So please protect me and overlook all my offenses." Very sweet prayer. Seeing Vrindavan as mother, because she is. So we're really getting dusted off here. Now we're getting pretty dusty. But it's a good place to be. Brahma wants to be in the dust of Radharani's feet, and Shiva wants to, and Lakshmi Devi. So if we're aspiring for the dust of Radharani's feet, we're certainly in good company. Isn't it? We'll be in line with Shiva, or Shiv, as they say. We'll be in line with Lord Shiv, and Brahma, and Lakshmi Devi. That's a really good association. I couldn't ask for better. Right? So then, this is this word is described here, that there's a small little pastime here. One day, Radharani was exhibiting her mood of jealous anger, transcendental anger, because she's not really angry, it's only a show. Like sometimes mothers pretend to be angry. "Hey, what are you doing? Hey, this is wrong." And the son goes, "Oh." Mother's angry, and then she goes in the other room, sees her husband, she just smiles, and... So it's like a false show of anger, just to rectify the son or to elicit the proper behavior. Often teachers or mothers, they do this little show in front of the child, to put on a stern face and raise her voice. "Hey, this is not good. It's my mother's angry with me. I better behave myself. I better shape up." "Yes, that's right." And then she goes inside, ha 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 ha. But anyway, so this is what this man is actually. Radharani is inside herself. She's completely dakshin, submissive to Krishna, willing and ever willing and ever ready to serve Krishna in any way, shape, or form. This is her bhav. There's no reluctance. There's no animosity. There's no avoidance or contrary mood. But under the force of Lalita Sakhi. Lalita Sakhi is called, Radharani is one name which is mentioned in Utkalika Valari. In Utkalika Valari, Rupa Goswami says that Radharani is Radha or Lalita Manini, was it? Biti. It says Lalita Biti Manini. Bhiti means bhayam. Bhayam means fear. That Radharani, she's Radha Manini Lalita Bhiti. That Radharani adopts a mood of man, or external, showing contrary or opposite behavior, or disinterest behavior, some anger in Krishna, due to her fear of Lalita Sakhi. Lalita Bhayam, Lalita Bhiti. Bhiti. So this is going on. It's a drama. It's a play. So we shouldn't confuse that this anger out of jealousy is. Because how can you be jealous of yourself? I suppose some people are. There are a lot of weird persons, people in the world. There's sadists and masochists. And people flagellate themselves. They beat themselves. It's called a masochist. Someone who subjects himself to punishment. Hits himself on the head with a hammer. So there may be people that are envious of themselves. I'm envious of myself. So Radharani, when she shows jealousy towards Chandravali, Chandravali is her. Chandravali is nothing but Radharani. She's expanded from Radharani, Kayavyuha. And then the Leela in the pastime, she's her sister. So it's usually, of course, anything is possible. But people aren't so much envious of their own sister. Of course, maybe they'd be full of envy. It can be also, if you're ugly and she's pretty. But at any rate, Chandrabhanu, who is her uncle, and Vrishabhanu's father, he is the father of Chandra. Bali. Chandrabhanu, it's a very similar name. His name is Chandrabhanu, her name is Chandravali. So, like this. So when they grew up, they played together, they grew up together, had so many birthday parties together, and you know, blew bubbles together, you know, poof, you know, whatever kids do. And so she appears to show some jealous anger towards Chandravali, but it's all Leela, it's all love, it's all sweet. Always has a sweet ending. No one gets hurt. No one gets really angry. So we should never misconstrue what's going on here in the transcendental domain. But one day, Radharani is angry out of jealousy. So with the help of her sakis, because Krishna is trying to break her man, so she puts her, with the help of her girlfriends, Krishna tries to put the red lac on the foot soles of Radharani. Of course we heard this. But then Radharani, she says, he's not doing this right. So her feet were wet. Radharani's feet were wet with this red lac dye, this color, red coloring. And so while they were still wet, Radharani just gently kicked Shyam in the forehead. She just put her feet, put her footprints. So then that lac came off of, and then what happened when she pushed or kicked his forehead with her red dyed feet? The red dye came on his feet and his head went back a little bit, like a slight jolt, like tonk. Like, hey, what are you doing? You're not doing this right. Then his peacock feather fell off his turban. So someone might think that this act of Radharani makes Krishna inferior, but actually it's a sign of Radharani's mercy. Krishna considers this the happiest day of his life. That he considers, now I become a marked servant of Radharani. Property of Radharani. Like sometimes they wear, you see these t-shirts, they have property of Folsom Prison or property of Hindi High School. They give you some uniform to wear on the sports field or something. Sometimes they put the name property of this school or that school. So they let you use the equipment or the clothing. You have to give it back afterwards. So when Krishna gets Radharani's footprints, the dust, which is full of the dust of Radharani's feet, when he gets that dust in his forehead, he's very happy to advertise. He's very proud to walk around and show the world, see this? This is Radharani's foot dust. And I wear this as a topmost ornament on my head. Even my peacock feather got knocked off by her feet when they were forcefully thrust on my forehead. But I don't mind. I'm very happy about it. Who needs a peacock feather? That was something that distinguished me to have a peacock feather. But other boys wear the peacock feather time to time. And Radharani also wears peacock feathers. But nobody gets the fortune, the great fortune, to wear Radharani's footprints on their forehead. Nobody. No coward boy, nobody, no gopi, nobody. And certainly Radharani doesn't wear her footprints on her forehead. Although she may wear a peacock feather, and maybe mine, she sticks in her hair. So this is the happiest day of my life. I have been crowned with glory. I have really been crowned with glory because it's so rare. You see, it's so difficult. I know myself how difficult it is. Shiva's trying to get the dust, and Brahma's trying to get the dust, and Lakshmi's been over there for I don't know how long. I went over and met her one day. I said, what are you doing here? She says, well, I'm trying to get the dust around Radharani's feet. I want to become a gopi, and I want to enter the rasa dance and serve you like a gopi. Oh, really? Why do you want to do that? Oh, because you're so attractive, you're so sweet. Well, are you? Let me ask you a few questions, Lakshmi Devi. Krishna met one time when he was walking here and there, Gochar and Leela. He said, Lakshmi Devi, you're doing all this tapa and austerity here in Belvan. If you, let me ask you this. If you were to take birth in Braj as a daughter of a gopa, which means you can become a gopi, and you get married, would you be willing to leave your husband in the middle of the night and when I play the flute and come and join me? She said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? First of all, I'm a sati, I'm a chaste wife. I could never run away from my husband. What is that? And the other proposition you said, take birth from the womb of a gopi? I mean, I'm a Brahmani. I'm the wife of Narayan. I'm a Brahmani. How you become a Vaishya? I mean, do you mean to tell me that for me to become a gopi, to dance with the Anurasadans, I had to become a gopi? But the process is, first I had to be born as a daughter of a Vaishya? A coward person? This is impossible. Then Krishna was thinking, oh, well, good luck then. There's no way you're going to enter Braj if you can't follow, become a gopi, take birth as a gopi, and give up your husband. Well, let me ask you this. Perchance, say that you did take birth in Vrindavan, and somehow or other, in a female form, Brahmani, whatever. Would you be willing to, like... Would you be willing to make cow dung patties, gober, and slap it on the wall, and then cook with those? Are you kidding? Are you out of your mind? Touch the stool of a cow? I make rasgullas, and I make burfi for Narayan, and I cook so many nice things for his repast, but to go outside and stoop down on the road and pick up the cow dung? Never. 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 And Krishna said, "Acha, so it's like that, huh? Well, I wish you the best. You stay here and I'm sure someday you'll get your desire filled. I'll pray for you." And that's where it stood. And that's where it stands. And that's where she sits. Lakshmi Devi ki jai. So we don't want to find that result for ourselves. So, of course, Uddhava is also praying in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. He wants the dust, and he's Krishna's best friend. He's Krishna's minister and friend and sakha. He's a guide. He goes everywhere with Krishna. And Krishna only had two students in his Gurukul. And he was here for 125 years. He came here, and Krishna has a PhD in philosophy. He's not an ordinary person. Now, Krishna really knows a lot, because sometimes we consider that he's God. So Krishna is still learned, and he knows everything. It's one of his Aishwaryas, Sadaishwarya Purnas, unlimited knowledge. He's so smart. But when he came here, he only had two students. Who were they?
Arjun and
Uddhav. Ah, Uddhav and Arjun, according to Hindi wallahs. But Sanskrit people will say Arjuna. Because I've heard innumerable people that know a lot about Sanskrit. They have a PhD in Sanskrit, and they say Arjuna and Uddhava. Because in Sanskrit, there's A is said. Did you know? The Hindi wallahs, Arjun, Uddhav. They always correct me when I go to Delhi and I say Arjuna. Maharaj, it's not Arjuna, it's Arjun. I said, oh, well, thank you, sir. Glad you're so smart. Anavrajam yaham nityam puyejyet yangri renubi. Uddhav said, I always follow my devotees to sanctify my... Oh, excuse me. I had to retract that. Krishna is telling Uddhav, because that's called Uddhav Gita, where Krishna is speaking to Uddhav. And Bhagavad Gita is Krishna speaking to Arjuna, and it means all of us. So Krishna says, Uddhav, I always follow my devotees. Anu braj yam yaham. Anu braj, because anu, the word braja, braja or braj or braja, means to go, to follow, to move, to wander. So braj is where God wanders. It's his wandering place. He rambles here. He rambles here, he ambles here, he wanders here. It's a place where you wander. Braj means to wander all over the Dwadasavan. So Brajvasis are wanderers, actually. Krishna's mother and father, and Nanda Baba, they were wanderers, sometimes in Kamyavan, sometimes in Gokulavan, or Mahavan, Gokul, and sometimes in Chattikar, there's a van there also, and then sometimes in Nandagaon. So they're wandering, so that's why they're called Braja, Vasis. They live, they wander and live, and live where they wander. So he's saying, Anubrajyam yaham nityam puyet yeti yangri renubi. The lotus feet reno means the dust. Krishna's saying, I always follow my devotees to sanctify myself with their foot dust. So what to speak of Radharani? As we mentioned earlier, when Krishna sees the footprints of Radharani, which are full of the dust of Radharani's feet, then what does he do? He drops everything, drops his cowherding stick, and drops his flute, falls in the ground and says, Jai Radhe, and rubs the dust on his feet. So that's Krishna. Krishna's desiring it, and he worships it. And there's that nice pastime where when Radharani was in Man, he came to encourage her to give up her Man, and he ended up receiving that great fortune of having Radharani's dust decorate his forehead. And he considers that to be his most prized and valuable ornament, the Shiromani, the great jewel of his head. Shiromani, the great crest jewel of Krishna's head, is to be so fortunate to have Radharani's footprints and her dust of her feet imprinted there. Yes.
Then
you said when he has this feet, the dust of Radharani's feet on his forehead, and he
tells others that I'm so fortunate now, I have this dust on me, I have this telling these friends.
Yeah, because he doesn't wipe it off, he keeps it on all day.
And so when they hear him say like this, how do they take? Because some of them are in favor of Radharani and some are in favor of Krishna only.
Yeah.
How do they take?
He's talking about his boyfriends?
He's telling his girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
And other gopis are also there, I suppose. And how they take it. Because they may think that he's just...
He doesn't announce it to everyone. Actually, it goes... Maybe I didn't represent it correctly, exactly. People have different ideas about what it is. What are these red marks on his forehead? It's not a very clear, detailed footprint with all the 19 marks, 8 marks on the right foot of Radha and the 11 marks on the left foot. They're not clearly there. But the Priyanarmasakas, the gopis, they know. The mantris and gopis, they know everything because they witness it. But the other uninformed gopis who are maybe not there on the scene, they also understand, and if they're in Chandravali's party, they're angry. They respond by saying, what is this? This is that other gopi's footprints, not ours. This is not very good. And you can see this mentality in the Rasa Panchadhyaya, whatever it is, in the 10th canto. When the gopis are wandering looking for Krishna after he left the rasa dance, there's different gopis are speaking there. Sometimes it's the vipaksha sakis or the paksha sakis. Paksha means my group, and vipaksha means against my group. So vi means paksha. So vipaksha sakis are Chandravali, Padma, Shaibya, and the paksha sakis are Lalita, Vishaka, etc. And there's neutral ones also, like Shamala, etc. They're called neutral. So they There are different ones who are speaking. And some of the gopis, they see the dust around and he's speaking. They say, who is this other gopi? Who is this other gopi that's taken Krishna and left us all alone to search for him? So that's an envious tone. They're a little bit envious. So that's the anti-party. That's Chandravali and company. But the other ones say, oh, this gopi that has taken Krishna, she must be more fortunate than ourselves because Krishna has taken her off to a lonely place and left us all alone. But the gopis that speak that are the favorable party, Lalita. So they have this type of responses. So also when they see the dust on Radharani, I mean Krishna's forehead. When the other sakas see it, they think, oh, it's some mineral dye from Govardhan. Someone has put some red mineral powder, some kunkum powder, whatever, they rub something on his forehead. And he doesn't tell them. He doesn't tell them, and they can't guess. But the Priyanarma sakas, who are sharing Krishna's Madhurya Leela, they're part of it, Madhumangal Sridham Subal, as I recall, maybe not Sridham, I'm not sure, but I think so. They're privy, they're what you say, privy to this particular Leela, because they're there. But actually, they may be just outside the kunj, and he goes into the kunj with a clean forehead and comes out with wet lac on his forehead. So they can gather quite easily that this is the mark of Radharani's lotus feet. So this is... those that know, know. Those that don't, guess. And those that are unfavorable, they become envious. And those that are favorable, become happy. The gopis, when the Pakshasakis, when the gopis and mandris, when they see later, at some other later time, after the fact, they see Krishna still parading around town, around with the cows, still haven't washed his face. He doesn't want to wash that, he wants that to stay on forever. When they see his face marked with their swamini's footprints, oh, they jump for joy. Look, from Radhakund, from the afternoon, from 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2:30 in the afternoon, still in the evening he's coming back with the cows. And although, somehow or other, I don't know, I thought they bathed at Manasi Ganga, but maybe he said, no, I don't want to bathe today. Because after he went back from Radhakund, he went to Manasi Ganga, met all the cows and boys, and then they returned with the Aparan Leela, back to Nandagam and all the cows and boys. And I think all of them bathed in Manasi Ganga, but it appears that he said, oh, I feel a little cold today. I have a little sniffle, so I won't go in the water. You boys play and bathe on my behalf. Because he's guarding that great treasure on his forehead. He doesn't want it to wash off. So, when the mandris, Radharani's mandris, her the Sneha Adhika mandris, and her Priya Kinkaris, when they see Krishna's face like that, coming back, passing through Barsana, they're so happy. Hey, look, he still has it. Look, he still has Radharani's marks on his forehead. This is remarkable. It's 5-6 hours. It's still there. It hasn't sweated off. Hasn't washed off. He didn't wipe it off. Didn't dry it off. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this making you feel so happy? And they become very, very proud. Just see. He himself has become a marked maidservant of Radha. He's become a marked servant. All rights reserved. Copyright. Srimati Radharani. So Radharani's put her copyright mark on Krishna's forehead. All rights reserved by Radha. You belong to me. And Chandravali thinks, I belong to you. But Radharani thinks, Krishna, you belong to me. There's Tadiya Bhav and Madhiya Bhav. Her Bhav is Madhiya Bhav. No, that's a different point. Madhiya Bhav means you are mine. And Tadiya Bhav means I am yours. Leftist is Prakara, Bhamya Prakara. It's a different thing. So, this is the glories of Radharani's foot dust. How rare it is, and everyone's anxious for it and praying for it. And we're living in Brajadam, or trying to live in Brajadam, and that foot dust is everywhere. Sevakunj, Nidiban, Radhakunj, Shamakunj, Giriraj, Govardhan, Rasastali, Barsana, Prem Sarovara. And we go there and we roll in that dust and we pray, stick to my, oh dust, please, please, don't jump off me. Stick to my heart, stick to my body, stick to my mind and never leave me. Decorate me, ornament me, purify me, help me, bless me. But as soon as we put our head in the dust, oh my, what's this stuff on my forehead? There's a lot of stuff. Yeah, Krishna holds and Gokul, Krishna holds onto the tail of the calf and they drag him through the dung and urine and everything, mud and milk, and he laughs. Oh, this is wonderful. He thinks it's great fun. No, they don't have any of this mal bhav, any of this kind of bhav that is dirty. There's nothing dirty. Everything's clean and pure. Different mind, transcendental mind. Oh, I'm dirty. Actually, that's what Brajadham is saying about us. When we lie in Brajadham, Brajabhumi, who's a goddess, who's a devi, she's saying, well, this dirty guy is lying on me. I hope he doesn't keep any dust on me. I don't want to be on that sky. I don't want to be stuck on this dirty guy. I hope he brushes me off. Oh, thank God, he brushed me off immediately. I certainly wouldn't want to ride around the place with sitting on that sky. So that's what she's thinking from her. You know, you have your thought, you have your worldview, you have your viewpoint, but what do you think the Yamuna thinks of you? Or what do you think the dust thinks? You go to the Yamuna and say, oh, the Yamuna is dirty. There's something floating in it. Oh, look at that. Oh, look. It's a dead body. Oh, I'm not bathing there. Oh, my God, look at that. There's a stool. Forget it. Why did you take me down here? See, what do you think I am? Are you going to bathe in there? So that's your thinking. But what is Yamuna Devi thinking? Who's this filthy, dirty slob from Russia? Their hearts are full of greed and envy and lust and anger. There's a filthy, dirty person. I hope they don't... Oh, Krishna, please, don't let them bathe. Don't let them even do Achman. They look and say, hey, Prabhu, I'm not even doing Achman. You go ahead. Forget it. And then the woman is thinking, oh, Krishna, thank you for answering my prayers. And make sure this person never comes back here again. And then that person says, listen, this is the last time, the first and last time I ever come down to the Yamuna. Don't ever take me down here again. I'm never coming here. Yamuna says, oh, my Haribo. I'm so happy. So Yamuna, you have a brain and you have a viewpoint. So does Yamuna Devi. You think that you're the only person here and everything else is impersonal? No. You're the only impersonal one here and everything else is personal. This is Brajabhumi. It's a personal abode of the personality of Godhead. He is the supreme person. So what does that make Brajadham? The supreme personal abode. If Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and this is his hangout, this is his place where he hangs out, then is there any impersonalism in this holy abode of Vrindavan? Yes, you. The only impersonal person here is you, Mr. Impersonal, or Mrs. Impersonal. The land, the trees, the vines, the dogs, the cats, the pigs, they're all personal. They're supreme personality of servitor, Godhead. They're all serving Krishna's lila, a prakriti lila. And you're not wanted.
It's the most imperfect thing we have.
Hmm? They are the supreme personality of servitorship. They are serving Krishna as the prakriti lila, and we're intruders. We're intruding. We're interfering. We are in the way. So please move out of the way, so that lila can get under way. So this is the point. Vrindavan doesn't need us. The Yamuna doesn't need us at all. She'll keep on flowing whether you bathe or not. And the dust will keep blowing whether you roll in it or not. And the trees will keep whatever, shading or whatever they do, whether you embrace them or not. And the pigs will keep snorting whether you, whatever, you know, respect them or not. And the dogs will keep barking. I guarantee they will keep barking whether you feed them or not. But if you feed them, they will bark more sweetly. Because it's prasadam, and it'll make them sweet. Instead of going, rawr, rawr, they'll go, woof, woof. You see, it's a fact. So honor everyone and everything in Braj, worship everyone and everything in Braj, and take advantage of the great fortune we have. Because if we do that, after 4,550 births, we may become personal. 4,500. Well, okay, 3,000. Takes a while. And I always to joke with Bhuvaneshwar. I mean, I call him Bhu Mundri now. But Bhu Devi. I always know when we have the fortune to honor some Mahaprasad by his grace and the mercy of Prabhupada and Radhasham Sundar. Then I said, Bhu, this is quite extraordinary. Chutney or whatever. He said, who made this? He said, then what does he say? Oh, Radharani made this. Every time. Radharani made this. Okay. Sounds pretty Radha conscious. And that's our aim, that's our ambition. Without fail, since 20 years I'm having the fortune to take some Mahaprasadam with him, he's always saying, Radharani made this. And it's a fact that we are only assisting Radharani in her service to Krishna, which Prabhupada told us innumerable times. We don't have the adhikar. How do we have the adhikar to serve Krishna? Not possible. He's served by Radharani. So you're as good as Radharani? Or better? You can just march right in there and offer a garland and cook and clean and dress and all these things? Really? Acha? Oh, excuse me, Radharani, just step aside. Do you know who I am? I am so-and-so Dasi. Oh, well, certainly. Well, help yourself. And Krishna will say, who? What are you? Oh, my God. Where did you came from? Do you know anything? You know anything about Ras or Bhav or Mello or Kalahantrita Bhav or Vasajika Bhav or do you know anything? Huh? What? What are you talking about, Krishna? Never heard of those things. What kind of language are you talking? So Radharani is an emporium of Bhava. She's Mahabhav Sorupini. Her body is made of Bhav. Her arms are not arms. It's not a such. It's her body is not a Satchitananda Vigraha, Ishvara Parama Radha. It's not a Satchitananda Vigraha. It's a Mahabhav Swarup. You ever heard this term? Yes. Mahabhav Swarupini. Takarani Radharani. Takarani Radharani Swarup. Mahabhav's, her Swarup, her spiritual form is made of Bhav. Mahabhav. Her hair is made of Bhav. And that's described in Raghunath Das Goswami's Premananda Maranda. Prema Bhojananda Makaranda, whatever. But it's quoted by Krishna's Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how her anger is her hairstyle and her lips are her man, or all these inconceivable, intimate.
Which means that body is Mahabhav Sarup, and it means that every part of her body is exhibiting great love for Krishna.
Yeah, the greatest. Every part of her body is surcharged. Sarup means it's Mahabhav Mayi. Like we say, Krishna Mayi. One of Radharani's names is Krishna Mayi. So Krishna Mayi means full of, she's full of it. Not like we get full of it. I'm full of it. I'm fed up. No, she's Krishna Mayi. She's full of Krishna. She's saturated with Krishna. She's thinking of him, so her hair comes out bluish black. Right? Because she's thinking of him. It's all her hair is as her thoughts personified. And her hair is wavy because Krishna's crooked. And so she has to think of so many crooked ways to serve him. So then her hair becomes crooked. And hair, black hair can be reddish black or bluish black. Krishna's hair is described by Satyabrata Muni as having a reddish tinge when he's running away from his mother. His black hair has a reddish tinge, says Rakta. The word is Rakta is there. But Radharani's hair is sham black, sham rang. Because she's always thinking of Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. That is Radharani praying in the form of Gauranga. Because Krishna is relishing the Radhakanti and Radhabhav. So Radha's saying, where is Krishna? Krishna Kotai. And what are we saying? Radha Kotai. Prema Mahi, right? Kotai go, prema mahi, radhe radhe. Gaurakishore Das made this beautiful song. So he and all of Gaudiya Vaishnavas are saying, Kotai, kahan? Radharani, where are you? And what is Radharani saying? Krishna, where are you? And what are the Goswamis teaching us? Hey radhe, braja devi ke chalalite, hey nanda sunakutaha. Shri Govardhana Kalpapada Patale Karlindi Vanyakutaha Goshanta Viti Sarvato Brajapure Nandena Samhoito Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako Radharasura Nidhi Ki Jai. It's definitely too much. It's like 1400 volts. It's coming through at a high pitch. There's plenty of voltage coming through. And how much our capacitor can hold is limited. So that it's told, the acharyas say, every grain of dust, every drop of water, and every leaf of every tree of Brajadham is full of Mahabhav. Because Radharani walks on this ground, Radharani touches those trees, she drinks that water, she bathes in that water. So then everything contacts her Mahabhav Surupini. So by that contact, everything becomes transformed. Not spiritualized, because it's already spiritual. It becomes bhavized. It becomes surcharged with Mahabhav. And as much as we surrender to Radharani and to Krishna and our Gurudev, as much as that, of course, Mahabhav is quite you have to have a lot of adhikar. The gopis and mandris can experience some of that Mahabhav, but that comes to the level of prem in Vastu city. Yeah, we're aspiring. Definitely we're aspiring to serve the lotus feet of Radharani and whatever she wants to share with us or give to us, because it's told by the Mahajans that the kinkaris, Radharani's kinkaris, they are tadatmika with Radharani. Their mind, heart, body, everything is identifying fully with Radharani. So whatever she feels, they feel. She cries, and it's to this extent that if Radharani's in Barsana and I've been sent to Kusum Sarovar to pick some flowers or some special garland, and Radharani somehow or other, due to the circumstance of Leela, she starts crying in separation from Krishna, me or I, being Radharani's Manjari, who's 40 kilometers away in Kusum Sarovar, at the moment Radharani starts crying, I start crying. So the intensity of separation she feels in Divyonmad, Mahabhav, Madanaki Mahabhav, she may become overwhelmed in separation and crumple and fall apart, and I will crumple and fall apart, even if I'm not even anywhere near her, because I'm Radha Sneha Adhika. I have more affection for Radha than Krishna, because I'm a kinkari.
So if I ask you a question, and all these objects like trees, river.
Their mood is more of Radharani than Krishna?
Yeah, because they have more love. Radharani is more prevalent. Huh?
Oh, of course,
so
definitely.
They have more invitation. They have this.
Yeah, they're only existing to support. They're only existing to support the pleasure of Radharani. Krishna only exists to please Radharani. This is the only purpose of existing. He's Madan Mohan, but Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. So this is her place. He applied for a job. When she became in Madhav Mahotsav, Jiva Goswami explained that Radharani was coronated the queen of Vrindavan. She received the name Vrindavan Aishwari. You heard this name? So this was a royal, elaborate Raj Abhishek, or Rajani, or whatever they say. Rajani, how do you say female Raj? Raj Abhishek. Anyways, a royal Abhishek, and she was installed as the queen, the Rai. And Rai. And that was in Umarau, which is up near Koshi. So at that time, they were giving posts. Different ministers were being appointed. Minister of Treasury, and Railroads, and Electrics, like this. So then Krishna, he went to apply for a job. And then he approached some of the secretaries of health, education, and welfare, and other secretaries. And he asked Lalita Sakhi, can I get any post in Radharani's kingdom? She said, really, I'm sorry, everything's been filled. And he said, well, and she said, anyway, file an application and give us your bio data and what kind of talents and skills do you have? So Krishna was thinking, geez, because he doesn't really know how to write very much either. He doesn't know any, he doesn't know Sanskrit or writing. He never really learned writing. Didn't go to school. And Braj, that was later in Mathura. Went to Sandipani when he, because that's why they when he got, by the time he got to Mathura, Vasudev was so embarrassed. This guy was running around Braj for 11 years, didn't learn how to write. Doesn't know anything about grammar or Sanskrit. He's like useless. So then he sent him to Ujjain, to Sandipani's Gurukul, and he learned the basics of education. Actually, all 64 arts in 2 months. So then the gopis were, he filled out the application, said, I know a little music, I can run behind the cows, I know how to milk a cow, I can play a pretty good flute. If you need any band members or some musicians in the royal court. So then they submitted to Radharani his petition. They said, well, this guy is so unqualified. He doesn't have any, no degree or, no, he doesn't know any crafts. He milks cows. Anybody can do that. And he runs behind the cows and he plays a flute. But we have so many musicians and minstrels here in the court. We don't need anyone. So Radharani flatly refused his application. She returned it to him and said that, listen, we'll give you a call if something comes up. But right now everything's filled. There's no vacancy. So Krishna was really downtrodden, really upset. He said, really, he was trying to reason with Lalita Sakhi, isn't there something, anything? I mean, come on. Everyone's getting it's a new government now. It's a new government in Vrindavan. There's been a change of parties now. Radharani's in charge. Isn't it possible I can get some type of post? So then Lalita goes back in and says, listen, this guy is really insistent. And he's kind of cute, Radharani. He's a little attractive. And he calls himself, you know, Sham. Can we do something with him? She says, well, listen, we can put him on the payroll, give him something, but just have him become a Kotwari. He can become a Kotwari, which means like a Chokidar or something like that. So then they went out and said, listen, we'll give you one shield with the emblem of the queen. On the outside of the shield is her royal emblem, her coat of arms, and you hold that shield, and here's one sword, and you can stand guard outside her door. Oh, Krishna was so happy. Oh, I'm so fortunate. I got some position. And he was so happy. He went to tell everybody. Oh, he went out to tell all the cowboys. Oh, Radharani's hired me. I'm going to be a chokidar, a guard. And they were saying, oh, we were so happy. And everyone celebrated. So Krishna, in this place, he's lucky if he can become like Radharani's chokidar. This is Radharani's kingdom. He feels greatly privileged. So this is Vrajabhumi, Sridhar Vrindavan.
We can still feel privileged that we
are
allowed to walk around.
We should feel so privileged to be here. Because any moment that privilege can be revoked and withdrawn.
We are making fast sales so that it's there. We get it.
Hmm?
That's why we make so many austerities of fasting and everything, so that
Yeah, we do. Somehow or other, we're trying our best to please Krishna, and then we're leaving the rest, the results, up to Him. We have our sankalpa, and we try to perform devotional activities according to Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, and pray and hope that someday He'll accept us in His eternal service. And of course, Radharani's eternal service. As I mentioned, we can't really approach Krishna. It's impossible. And somehow or other, only by the mercy of Gauranga and his disciples or his followers, can we approach Radharani. This is what he's giving. So Bhakti Shriyam. So Anarpita Shriyam Charat. Krishna's giving in the form of Gauranga what he's never ever given before in any Vishnu avatar. He's giving this So Bhakti Shriyam, the beauty of her own bhakti. The beauty of her own bhakti means devotion to Radharani, service to Radharani. He's distributing this, so Bhakti Shriyam, in Adi Lila, chapter 1, verse 4 or maybe 6, in the Mangala Charan. Radharasunaniki.